Terry. We're gonna, the anointing of the Lord is so strong here in this place. Will you come, Terry? You can come, Terry. The Bible says we will rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn those with those that mourn. And Terry, come over here. We just want to pray for you and anoint you with oil. And we all going to pray for comfort. You know, Terry lost her husband just not long ago. And she needs a lot of prayer and strength. Amen. So reach out your faith. That the Spirit of the Lord will be so strong in her.
Father, we thank you that you are our ever-present help, even in times of trouble. Father, we thank you that you are our hope. Lord, there's nothing in this world that we can depend on any more than you. You are faithful. You promise, Lord, that you always deliver. And we thank you, Lord, for the comfort, for the strength, for the tenacity, Father, to keep on when we want to quit. Father, for the determination to know that those things that you promise you will bring to pass. Lord, you said you came for us to have life and have it in abundance. Father, Terry needs abundant life right now. Father, even in the midst of loss, Lord, we pray for your joy and your peace to bubble up from within. Lord, your presence, your spirit within her. Father, we pray that you would energize every aspect of her life, spirit, soul, and body. And Father, that she would know that you care for her, that you know every aspect of it. Father, even in the times of doubt and discouragement, you are there. You're holding her. And Father, even the footprints that are yours, not ours, because you carry us through those difficult times. And Father, we join together with Terry today, Father, as you call us to bear one another's burdens. And Father, we pray for encouragement, for strength, for vision. And Father, for a future and a hope, Lord. Lord, you got a plan and a purpose even for her at this time. And Father, she needs to go through a process. And Lord, we pray that you be there encouraging, strengthening her all the way through. And Father, as all of that subsides, Father, may that windows of heaven be open, that she will know what is your plan, your direction, your purpose for her from this point forward. And Father, we know that you want our best. You have our interest in us, and you want us to enjoy life to the fullness. So Father, we don't know how that will happen, but we trust you with the process. And Father, we rely on your comfort, your strength, your joy. Father, we just thank you and praise you for the tenacity and strength, for those that have supported, for those that have encouraged, and Father, for being there every step of the way. You are faithful, the promise, and you will always deliver. So Father, we thank you for Terry. Encourage her in the name of Jesus.
Father, Terry, I just hear the Lord say that the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord is all over you, and you know that. And the calling of the Lord without repentance, and you know the calling is there. And as you grieve this process, and it's a grieving process, the Lord wants you to remember something. When you feel that peace, don't push it away. You know, because sometimes the Spirit of the Lord come, and don't let the flesh or the enemy say, oh, you're supposed to be mourning and or grieving. Oh, what, you're having a good time. You know, that's going to come. So it's just like a warning. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. And so it's okay. It's okay to laugh again and feel joy again. It's okay. It's not a perpetual grieving. So, you know, the Bible tells us don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So when you feel that peace and that joy, it's okay. It's okay. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, we release that she's going to receive the peace that passes all human understanding, and she's going to receive joy. The joy is of the Lord. And that's what's going to give her strength. Be with her and heal her broken heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I want drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's so overwhelming.
this will be a good time to remember what Jesus did for us. We're gonna have communion. If you didn't pick up your cup, it's right there by the double doors. You know, we're singing, the more I seek you, the more I find you. That is a good question to ask. Am I seeking? Am I seeking more? Or am I content and satisfied? Jesus was not content with just spending 3.5 years with his disciples. He wanted to be available to the whole world. And that's why he went to the cross and became our substitute for every man and woman in existence. He went to the cross because he knew that we couldn't do it on our own. We all had been broken and we could not fix ourselves, though we try. And that's why he became our sacrifice, so that those who would desire to be in fellowship with him for eternity would have a way. And when he went to the cross, just before he did that, he asked us to remember what he was about to do. He gave up his flesh, his body. And in the Last Supper, he broke the bread, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body given for you." That meant you and I here today, our children, our grandchildren, all of humanity. Because no part of humanity, sinful humanity, could do what he did. And though human, he never partook of sin. And so he became bread for us to feed on. To feed on life, his life. And oh, we need it so bad. You know, we think we need food every day. And we work hard to maintain that. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life for each one of us." So Jesus, we remember that you gave up your body so that we could be nourished in every aspect of our body and our soul. We remember what you did, and we thank you for giving us life. Abundant, everlasting. We thank you for it as we partake of the symbol of your broken body given for us. We remember and we thank you for it. And Lord Jesus, you knew that even in your model prayer, you said, "Give us our daily bread." Your bread is eternal because you gave eternity when you spilled your blood in our behalf, so that we could be washed we can be made anew. All of our sinfulness, even our nature, be changed because the blood can be poured upon each one of us individually. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your blood that is able not just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but to make us new creatures, children of God. What a privilege, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that now we can enjoy fellowship with God because of the blood you spilled in our behalf. And we receive it today as a symbol of your spilled blood in our behalf. We partake of it, and we are washed from inside out as you have washed every sin. And we thank you for being willing to be the sacrifice whose blood atoned for our sin. And we thank you as we remember it. Thank you, Lord.
You would open our ears, Lord, to be able to hear the word, Lord, that was prepared for this morning. We pray that you would protect it, Lord. We pray that it falls on good soil, God. Father God, even open the eyes, Lord, that need to be opened this morning. Let us not take this time for granted, Lord. Let us press into your word, Jesus, because we know that it's alive and living, and it's well, and it's strong, and it's powerful. And it can do the work in us that needs to be done, Lord. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, Carlos, who's going to present the certificate today? Next time? Okay, we're good.
Well, good morning. If you'll grab your bulletin, we'll go through this morning's announcements. You ready? You sure? Children 3 through 12 are dismissed at this time. I almost had a false start there. His engines were cranked and ready to go. It says we're having a baptism today, but due to frigid temperatures and the trough being frozen over, it's not. I'm sorry, I'm fibbing, but it is a little too chilly for a baptism this morning or this afternoon, so that will be postponed to warmer weather. CPR certification is happening on February 15th at 4 o'clock, and it's for all leadership and LMC members interested in becoming certified. We do ask that you would pay $25 for the class. And the sign-up sheet is still in the foyer, and you can still sign up for that. So please do so, and make sure you put it on your calendar. And then evangelism class is resuming this Tuesday, February 3rd at 7 o'clock. Don't forget about that, and be here Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And then Pastor Asia is going to be starting a Friday morning women's Bible study from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. beginning February 6th. So any ladies that are available for that are encouraged to come and be a part of that. And then the regular ladies ministry meeting is happening tonight at 7 o'clock. The ladies will be reviewing their vision boards, and you ladies are encouraged to come and bring yours and share a little bit about it. That is all the announcements for this morning. If we have any first-time visitors with us this morning, we'd like to welcome you. Don't worry, we're not going to call you out, make you stand up or anything like that. But hopefully we greeted you as you came in and put a welcome packet in your hand. In that welcome packet is a little card that we do ask you to fill out, and you can place that card in the box in the back or the plate up front here, and it's just an opportunity to tell us a little bit about yourselves and an opportunity for us to pray for you, and there is a place for you to put prayer requests in there, but even if you don't put prayer requests in there, you will be prayed for, so I encourage you to place that in the box if you have not done so already. But in there, it talks about giving and how we believe that giving is an act of worship. And we don't set aside a specific time in the service, but you can give throughout the service as you feel led by the Lord. And you can do so by bringing your offering to the plate up front, the box in the back, or online at lmclabelle.org. And there is a give button in the top. We did hear that Tithely was having some technical difficulties through the week. Hopefully that's been resolved. And if not, hopefully this week it will be resolved. So we do apologize for that for those that do give online. But we are going to bless it at this time. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives, God, for the sweet time in your presence already this morning. Lord, how you just move through this place and you minister to us, God. You meet us exactly where we're at. Whether we're in the lowest of lows or the highest of highs and anywhere in between, God, you're there with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. Father, I thank you for every family represented here this morning with us in person and online. Lord, I pray that you would bless them and minister to them, continue to meet their needs. Lord, we pray a special blessing on each one. And God, we thank you for the tithes and offerings that have been given and will be given. That you would multiply them, Lord, that you would continue to give the board of directors wisdom on how to allocate these funds for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, one of our TVs decided not to work in this cold weather. So we apologize for that as well. All right. In the book of Acts, chapter 18, the Apostle Paul is spoken about having his second missionary trip. And that happened around AD 50 to 52. He traveled the circuit, and especially he went to Corinth and he ministered there for a year and a half, and he taught and he instructed and he spoke at first to the Jews, and the Jews rejected him. So he said, well, you reject the Lord, then I'll go to the Gentiles. And Corinth was a big city. And so he stayed a year and a half with Aquila and Priscilla, partners in the Lord, and at work too. All three of them were tent makers. And so they labored for a year and a half in Corinth in the year around 50 to 52 AD. And then in his third missionary trip, about 4 or 5 years later, Paul writes a letter from Ephesus. to the Corinthians. And he starts talking to them, you know. He started with encouragement and praise for the way that they had received the Lord and some of the ways that they were exhibiting some of the gifts, you know, they had not held back on manifesting the gifts of the Spirit. But it is interesting what he speaks, and we're going to look at some of it this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. And he started saying, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal." Of course, he didn't start there. He started saying, you know, "I'm proud of you for receiving the Lord and doing things." But then, you know, after the good part is said, then there's some correction and instruction that comes in, and we all need that, don't we? So he could not speak to them as spiritual people, as of carnal, even as babes in Christ. He continues saying, verse 2, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" So, the compliment part is over, and now it's the admonishing and correcting of them, you know. And, you know, we need to be open. We all like the praise and the adulation, and we don't usually pay attention to the correction and instruction. And they both need to come, because we are imperfect vessels that need correction, instruction, and healing. Amen. He told the Corinthians not to be like ordinary, you know, he used the word like mere men. He was basically telling them not to be like ordinary worldly people, worldly men and women, of course. He was basically saying it's time to grow up. You know, this was 4 or 5 years after the church was established in Corinth. There was no church. There was no preaching. Jesus was probably unknown in Corinth at that time. And when Paul came in with Aquila and Priscilla, they ministered for a year and a half. A church was built. They started meeting regularly. 4 years later, Paul writes a letter and saying, "You still in baby diapers. This is not right." You know, we don't know who the author is who wrote the book of Hebrews. There's speculations, but we don't know for sure. But in Hebrews, we find something very similar. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the author of Hebrews is writing to the scattered Hebrews. And he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." You know, babies are born. We have experienced that very recently. Lucy was born, and it's amazing how quickly they grow. I mean, and think of it, just with milk, they grow up quite big and quite fast. In the last 2 months, I think she's 2 months already. Month and a half, or something like that. But you know, for the first 4, 5, 6 months, all they drink is milk. That's all the food that they take. But then it comes that time when milk is not enough. There's a time that you need to start feeding some other things to that baby. Now, the baby won't starve if all they get is just milk, but they will not develop physically in the proper way if the diet is not changed at some time that is proper. You know, the same thing happens to us in our spiritual aspect of our development. Some of us have been born again for a few months, a year, a few years, and some of us have been born again for quite some years. But some of us have not changed our spiritual diet. We're still being spoon-fed spiritual milk because we refuse to have anything else. Now, it is cute for a newborn to desire milk, but it is not cute for a 3 to 5 year old to only have milk and that in bottles. You know, there's something wrong with that picture. That's abnormal. I said last Sunday that once we become Christians, our number one job is to grow up as a Christian, to grow out of Christian diapers and pacifiers. And I said that one of the best ways to do that is to become part of a small group, a support group, a teaching group of Christians where you can get close connection with other brothers and sisters, and you can strengthen one another, support one another, be accountable to one another. We spoke about that. You need to listen to that message from last Sunday on our website. Small groups are great. But there is more than just being part of a small group to grow up spiritually. I mean, that's a great start, and it's a good thing, and it's a needful thing, but that's not the only thing for us to grow up. You know, babies, they're not able to get the proper variety of food on their own. And that's to be expected for some time. But I remember, you know, we used to have 2 or 3 high chairs at home when there were a lot of babies, grandbabies that would come regularly to our house. And, you know, after a year or two when they can sit and be safe in a high chair, they would love to handle their own food. And boy, you know, it was a messy thing, but it was an enjoyable thing. It was a cute thing to do, to see. You know, it's okay for mom to give me a spoonful, but I want to feel it in my own hands and just spread it all over the place so that grandma has to clean the whole place later on. So, after some time, you know, a year old, something like that, the babies start grabbing for food on their own. Mommy doesn't have to spoon feed him or her everything. I mean, they like to handle it on their own. Similarly speaking, all of us here know how to read. If we have had a normal physical and mental development, we pretty much can handle reading. As a matter of fact, most likely, all of us are constantly reading texts, emails, news, and some of you even read books. One of the basic signs of a Christian is to read text messages that God sends to us. That is his book, his text, in the form of a Bible. We will not grow right as a Christian if we don't read the Word of God regularly. Now, you will grow up in certain aspects, but it will not be a proper growth. Many of us grew up hearing things that were really not true. They were made up stories and fables and disbeliefs. We heard about Santa Claus. We heard about Cupid. We heard about the Easter Bunny. We heard about fairies. Now we're hearing about zombies. And the list goes on and on and on. But then, at a certain point, we heard or we read the truth about those things. And we stopped believing those fairy tales because we got truth that we can bank on. We realize that was something somebody came up as a tale, not truth. Well, similarly, all of us have got our own ideas and develop our own thinking about God and about the Christian life. And we think we're right. You know. But I recall the words of Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 31, when Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, he said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You ask, free from what? I'm glad you asked. Free from, first of all, the bondage of ignorance. You know, the enemy uses our ignorance against us to rob us of what rightfully belongs to us as Christians. We stay ignorant and the enemy has a heyday with us. And he tosses us this way and he tosses us that way. And we never really know for sure because we have not gotten a hold of the truth. So we need the Word of God to stay in truth. See, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is the way we get to know God, at least in our initial stages. And then we know what we are asked to be and to do by our Heavenly Father. So we need the Word of God, but there's more that we need as well to grow up properly. The book in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you." Of course, Jesus had not went to the cross when he said those things. But Jesus promised us a helper, and he's already sent him. And he called him the Spirit of Truth. So we got the Word. The Word of God that we need to feed on regularly, but then we need the Spirit of Truth that will reveal that word to us in the way that we can apply it on our specific events in our lives. We need that helper to teach us truth and to get rid of our fairy tales and our man-made ideas about the Christian walk. And boy, do we have them. You know, we have been watching people that seem religious, and we think, well, it worked for them, it may work for us, and we do things not thinking. Just because people do it, so we follow through, and we just become part of the herd mentality. People do it, so will I. Well, you need to do things because they're right and they're truthful, not because they're popular. As a matter of fact, a lot of the things, as it was being shared this morning, a lot of the things that Jesus asked us, you know, they're not pleasant sometimes. They are hard to deal with, and sometimes we don't want to let go of some of the things he's asking us to let go. But he's always for us, not against us, and he knows exactly what we need and what we don't need to include in our lives. We need the guidance of the Spirit of God to walk in the truth of God, not in what we think is right. He will guide us when we call on him to guide us. Call on him, depend on his guidance. He is here with you. If you're a Christian, he lives in you. You are a temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Jesus continued in verse 26 of that same chapter 14, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Like I said, he's our teacher, and we need to listen. We need to learn to listen and follow through with his guidance. We're not left orphans once we're born again. You know, like you get born again in a place that you may have never been before. You make a commitment to the Lord and then you're on your own. No. The Spirit of God is in you. And this is why we need small groups. This is why we need to develop habits that are conducive for us to grow. We have someone whose job is to help us to grow up. That is the Holy Spirit. But we must listen. And we must be willing to obey him. The quicker, the better for us. And it takes intentionality, and it takes practice, and it takes teaching to be able to discern his voice and listen to what he's telling us individually. And what he tells you may be quite different from what he tells me. Now, it will always be based on truth, but we all have particular ministries and jobs to do. And that is great. In John 15, verse 26, Jesus continues talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth," so he's emphasizing, he is going to bring truth in a relevant way to you. He says, he will testify of me. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak too much about himself. It always points to Jesus, your Savior, your Shepherd, your Master. As we read the Word, Holy Spirit will give us an understanding of what we're reading. If we desire the pure miracle of the Word, that we may grow thereby, as Peter said. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And some people say, well, I've got the word. That's all I need. The problem is, when we disregard the leading of the Spirit, then we take the letter of the word, just like the Pharisees, and it all becomes a form and a habit and a do and a don't. And then it all becomes dead to us. It doesn't mean what it should be. And this is why Jesus came with the same word that the Pharisees had, but it was a lie because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he could tell specific applications of the word, and the Pharisees would not accept it. No, we want to stay with the form. I'd rather feel comfortable doing for God what I think that word says. And the Holy Spirit may be saying, you're missing the whole point. It's not what you do, it's the heart with which you do it. And it's written in the word. We have to fast 3 days a week, and we have to not work on the Sabbath, etc., etc., etc. And Jesus came and said, no, you got it all wrong. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We already know that we have an enemy. It's called the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him. And we are at war with him. We've talked about that previously. But you know, he is our enemy, but we can't fight him if we're not strong in the Lord, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6. We have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our enemy is always prowling and looking for our weak areas to fight us and to make us to stumble and fall and miss the abundant life that Jesus intended for us to have. And this is why we need to know about the armor that God has given us so that we can do the proper warfare and resist the enemy. And you know, after Paul in Ephesians 6 from 12 to 16, he describes that armor of God that we're supposed to put constantly. He ends up with this statement. You put on the whole armor of God, and then you pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is another discipline that we need to develop to grow properly in the Lord. We need to have fellowship. We need to have time together with the Lord on a regular basis. So we have mentioned the Word. We have mentioned the voice of the Spirit. And now fellowship with our shepherd so that we can follow properly. Otherwise, we will always be doing our own thing, which doesn't necessarily please the Lord. We need to become disciples, followers of Jesus. You know, my wife found that picture in the wall there in between, and I thought, well, there's really not that something that special about that picture. And then she explained. And she said to me, we are supposed to follow him. Of course, you don't see his face right then in that picture because he's leading. We have our eyes set on him. Isn't it interesting that when Was it Moses or Abraham, one or the other? He was not satisfied. I think it was Moses. He was not satisfied with talking to God face to face. And said, I want to see your glory. And God said, you can't handle my glory. Just too much. It'll kill you. But I'll show you my back. I'll let you see my back and it won't kill you. And you know, I thought about this imagery that God was trying to point to us. Why would he show his back? And then I see that picture. I said, we're supposed to be following. Now, there will be times I will sit with him face to face. But in this daily life, in this world, we got to make sure we can see his back so that we know where he's going and we can follow his footsteps. When my wife and I became Christians, every time the church opened the doors, we were there. At the time, we had 2 children. Then we had 3. Then we had 4. We both had secular jobs. Our kids were in school and in every sport imaginable. And yet, we made time for every church meeting. We made time for personal Bible reading, for individual and family prayer time, for time to listen to radio and TV preaching and teaching. We made time to go in evangelism every Saturday morning. And yes, we did have a social life. My wife and I are talking currently and working on discipleship groups. We're going to make one for women, and we're going to make one for men. We are going to choose some of you who have been faithful to this church and have a desire to grow up to the next level in the Lord. We are investing extra time and effort on those of you who have truly received the call from our Master, the Lord Jesus. And we will invest on those of you who want to be all you can be for the Lord. To those of you who want to make an impact for Jesus in your areas of influences. To those of you who want to glorify the Lord with your lives. And you will hear from us, a few of you will. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter says something so awesome. I just love to read this scripture. He says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. That in itself has got a lot of stuff. You see, the divine power of God has given us already. That's a done deal. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How do we get that? Through the knowledge of him. And why us? Because we have been called by glory and virtue. Each one of us has got a calling from the Lord directly. But he continues on saying, verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. What an awesome statement. Jesus has made available to us all things necessary for us to live a victorious and productive life. And each of us has a specific mission from the Lord to accomplish. And we as pastors in this house, we want you to have all the tools you need to fulfill your mission in life, whatever that is. But you know, it's not up to us. It is up to you to say yes to the Lord's call in your life. And I'm telling you this as well. This is not necessarily about making it to heaven. Even though when you get to heaven, if you have said yes here, your rewards will be multiplied abundantly. But this is all about fulfilling your destiny in this temporary life here on earth. And you have a purpose, a specific one, a unique one. And then when you have accepted that and you walk through it, you know, at the end, you will hear Jesus telling you just what he said in Matthew 25, 23. He will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler of many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." It's grow up time. I know Paul expected the Corinthians that in 4 years they would be mature. Some of us spend 20, 30, 40 years in church and we're still in diapers. That is not right. We need to grow up and fulfill our part as we have been called by the Lord to do what he's asked us to. Let's grow up and let's fulfill our destiny in this life the way the Lord intended for each one of us. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your plans and purposes. They're always great for us, and they always bring you glory and honor when we fulfill them according to your direction and guidance. Lord, we don't want to stay babies sucking on a bottle of milk when you have so much greater riches for us. You have great and precious promises that you have given us. Father, they're up to us to receive and walk in them. And Lord, we first need the desire, and then we need your guidance to apply them properly. Lord, we don't want to stay where we are today. We're a little better than yesterday, but tomorrow we want to be a little step higher. We don't want to stay stagnant. Father, when water stays stagnant too long, it begins to stink. We don't want to stink. We want to be productive, vibrant, effective people that glorifies the Father and bring glory and strength to the church. Father, help us to grow, that we may be all that you've called us to be. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.
The world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never